It wasn't just Andrew Benintendi today. It was JD Martinez, who has gotten hot.
That ball is gone! What a bullet by Devers!
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. We get a week closer to the start of spring training, though we still don't know when that is. Right now, it might be 3 weeks away. At least that's the latest. I'm Todd Karen, he's Jerry Remy. Special guest coming, Alex Cora is going to be with us for the entire episode. But before we get to him, the news last night, Jerry, no one inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Were you surprised?
A little bit surprised. Yeah, I would say so, TC. I thought that Schilling might have had a chance at it last night. I thought he might have been the only guy that would get in, but he fell short. And then he immediately comes out today and says, take my name off the ballot. He says, I'll wait for the Veterans Committee. And, you know, that might be the right thing to do for him. You know, Schilling's an acquired taste, of course. And, of course, we know him from playing here. I got to know him a little bit on what type of person he is. And I know that he's a fierce competitor. And, you know, I, for one, believe that I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I know it's borderline. I know it's all out. But, you know, watching his career, you know, played for some bad teams in Philadelphia. And, you know, when he had a chance to be with a good team, really stood out. I was a little bit surprised at that. Not totally surprised because, you know, during the course of the week, people were saying that nobody was going to get in. And, but I still think he does belong in. I think he will probably get in with the Veterans Committee in time. That's going to take a lot of time, obviously, as we know how that operates. But, you know, the other surprise is that, you know, the steroid guys are not making big bumps. You know, they're not just not making big bumps. And I don't know if we'll ever see the day where we see those guys in the Hall of Fame.
And it really gets interesting next year because A-Rod is on the ballot next year for the first time. David Ortiz on the ballot too, and people are going to bring up the 2003 news. There's no doubt about that. But it gets a little thornier here as more of these guys come onto the ballot.
You're exactly right. It was a terrible mark for baseball, and the writers obviously have not forgot it, and then the players seem to be going along with it. It seems, you know, every time we talk to Roger, we get him on maybe a couple times a year, and it doesn't seem to bother him at all. But it's gonna bother him down deep. It has to. So we'll see where this goes. But yesterday, not a total surprise to me. I thought maybe Kurt had a chance to get in, but you know, he doesn't help himself with a lot of things.
No, and he didn't afterwards, again, kind of getting into it all over again. 16 right. Votes shy yesterday. We'll see if he's even on the ballot next year, his last year of eligibility
right.
Before it goes to the Veterans Committee. All right, let's get to Alex Cora. Joined us just a couple of moments ago. Great conversation. Let's get to it. Here's our interview with Alex Cora. And the manager of the Boston Red Sox joining us now, Alex Cora. Antsy to get going, I would think. First of all, thanks for coming on, AC. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine. We're just checking in on you. You know, we need some inside information.
Yeah. I mean, like TC said, you know, getting anxious, getting to that point. A lot of meetings. Obviously, we're living in a different world right now, but I think I'm over that now. I'm getting used to, you know, the Zoom calls and all that stuff. I still don't understand what we have to Zoom when we used to have conference calls. You know, it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
But I'll get to that one. But I think we're doing a good job as an organization to stay connected, to provide information, and looking forward actually to go to Fort Myers and get to work.
All right, last week I heard you say on NLB Network Radio, the puzzle isn't complete. There's been some, you know, the Ottavino announcement. There's other names I know you can't announce officially yet, but we know who they are. Do you think the puzzle, if it's not completed, are you pretty close to completing it now at this point?
Yeah, it's getting there, but I do believe that, you know, we still have work to do. And the cool thing about this is getting to keep working with Haim and obviously be more involved. Now, like talking to free agents and talking to our players, we do believe that we have a good team. You know, you talk to these players from other organizations, you know, that play for other organizations, and they're like, no way, you guys are going to be bad next year. I'm like, yeah, you're good. Yeah, we'll give you how much money you want. No, but I think we're getting close, but as you guys know, the work never stops. I think Jaime is doing an outstanding job creating balance. You know, you look at the Ottavino deal. Well, we get a great reliever and we get a great arm, you know, and that's what we're trying to accomplish as an organization, you know, avoid the up and downs, avoid the roller coaster ride. You know, you win the World Series, which is always good. You know, I'll win every 5 years. I'm cool with that. But, you know, avoid the finishing last or playing for 500. Just give yourself a chance to be in the dance like the Dodgers on every October and see what you can do there.
Look, Alex, last week was a pretty busy week. And one guy that intrigues me a lot is Kiki Hernandez. You know, I didn't realize, I was looking at his numbers, not down deep into his numbers, but the basic numbers. And I didn't realize he had that much pop. And he was a guy that could play so many different positions. That's going to be a great addition for the club.
Well, you know, I know a lot of people are talking about Enrique. I call him Enrique because he was my bat boy when I played winter ball when he was 8 years old. So he's a good player. He's a solid player, obviously. You know, I know a lot of people have talked about him. We can't, you know, get into too deep into this, but looking from afar, he's a guy that he's versatile. He's a lot. I think he's a better hitter than what people think. Like you said, he has a lot of pop, but at the same time, you know, what he brings to the equation outside the clubhouse is amazing. He's a very humble kid from a great family. His dad actually, you know, he's a cancer survivor. You know, they've been amazing, a family that we really respect here in Puerto Rico, and let's see where it takes us.
You know, the one name that was officially announced this week is Adam Ottavino, and I think that shocked a lot of people because things have been quiet. Most of the guys had been maybe longer-term guys. This guy, 1 year left on his deal, 35 years old, kind of at the top of his game right now. Coming off a tough year, we know that, but it was one bad outing, right? It was six runs in Buffalo that skewed everything. As that came together over the last week, first of all, were you surprised that there was a deal with the Yankees being talked about? And second of all, what did that tell you about Bloom's plan, not just for the long term, but to try to get better now?
I honestly was in shock because I thought there was a rule somewhere, unwritten rule about Yankees and Red Sox, you know, no making trades. I remember in meetings with Dave and the front office and the scouting department, we used to go through every team, right? And we stopped at 28. We never went over the Yankees, you know, jokingly, you know, but I thought it was the rule somewhere, somehow. But surprise, pleasantly surprised. This guy, he's a force in the bullpen. And like you said, last year, I was watching that game and it was a ground ball to right field, a ground ball to left field. I think Travis hit a home run, Shaw. But, you know, that event happened, but it's like, you know, it's a short season. You give up six, that's your season right there. But his stuff is still there. Velocity is good. The slider wasn't as consistent as in 19. So that's something he's going to work on. You guys have heard his story, you know. He builds his own pitching lab. He has TrackMan and Rap Soto and all this kind of stuff that Remy loves. And, you know, he'll get better. And now, you know, we talk about the puzzle, right? You got Darwinson, you got JT, you got Brazier, you got Barnsley, you got Ottavino. So, you know, for whatever bullpen people talk like, oh, they don't have a good bullpen. If you go to the pitchers that we have, we're pretty solid. We're pretty good.
Who's your closer?
You know what? That's a good question. Thank you for putting me in the spot. We'll decide that, you know, whenever we have to make a decision. But I do believe that now we create balance as far as like the righties and the lefties. Those two lefties, the organization missed last year, you know, Taylor and Darwinson. You saw what they did in 19 towards the end of the season, and that was a big blow for the team. But now it's like trading for three players, right? Ottavino, Taylor, and Darwinson. And we'll see. You know, just like I said in 19, when we're up 3-2-1 in the ninth, we'll flip the ball to somebody there and they'll get the three outs and we shake hands. You see, TC, I still got it.
You're not a Dodger anymore, but you can dodge it with the best of them, all right?
Alex, I got to ask you, you know, when you got your job back with the Red Sox, and you made a comment that I was interested in, and you said you're watching a lot of baseball last year and you watched teams play fast. Now, I know you weren't talking about time of game. Exactly what did you mean by that?
Yeah, I do believe that, you know, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Rays, you know, defensively, it seems like they were quicker than everybody else. Running the bases, and I'm not talking about stolen bases. Right. He's going first to third, scoring from first, scoring from second. It seems like they had better athletes than the rest of the league, and that's why they were good. And we saw that in 18 for how good we were. We were very aggressive running the bases, hit and running, scoring from first. In 19, I think because of the scores, we weren't able to be as aggressive as I like. Last year, obviously, it was a tough one for the organization, you know, falling behind early, and we weren't able, the organization wasn't able to move fast, but that's been the message. We're going to be aggressive again. We're going to have to not only rely on the home run. I know JD is going to have a great year. Benny, for me, is a key here. Benny, you know, when we were in the playoffs in 18, if you look back, the way he played defense, the way he ran the bases, he was amazing. You know, he was great. And that's what we were trying to get back. And if we do that, you can put pressure on the opposition on a daily basis. When you just rely on the home run, well, when you're in a slump, you're not going to score runs. And we got to find ways to score runs. If we do that, we should be fine.
Alex, what was the hardest part of that? What was the hardest part about being away from the team, from the game for a year? And were there things you were able to do as far as, you know, analyzing yourself, things that you realized that you can do better now that you get another shot at being a manager?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, waking up and you know, see my daughter and my mom and Angelica and everybody, and, you know, there were certain times I felt embarrassed, you know, like I'm here for the wrong reasons. I made a mistake and I'm here. Although they loved it, right? I mean, being at home in the middle of the pandemic, you know, they felt safe. But at the same time, they understand that this is what we do, you know, as a family. This is what we do. You know, we play baseball, we coach baseball, we manage baseball. And that was tough. At the same time, watching the game, you know, I've been working so hard for so long, you know, to get to that position. And all of a sudden, it's amazing because you put it in perspective now. We were in the highest of highs, and then all of a sudden we're in the lowest of lows, you know. And we talk about being consistent and avoid the roller coaster. Well, you know, I was in a roller coaster all the way up till, you know, the first week of November. I'm glad that, you know, the organization gave me a chance to be back. Now I feel at peace, at ease. One thing I learned, and I told Remy off the air, you know, dealing with these two kids in the middle of a pandemic, it made me a better person, a better man. You know, you have to be patient. You know, I'm glad that they're twins and they have each other, you know, on a daily basis, because it's hard. If you only have one, you don't see kids, you know, it's hard. You just growing up with adults, but they have their best friend right next to them. But at the same time, it gets intense in the house, and to be patient with them, I guarantee you it made me a better manager. And it's not that I'm out here to prove people wrong. You know, I'm here to keep doing what I know what I can do. But this thing really helped me to realize that, hey, I missed the game. I'm better now and looking forward to get back to Fenway Park and manage the Red Sox.
You're building a relationship with a new general manager, Chaim Bloom. Dave Dombrowski was a guy who didn't like to sit around. He jumped in. I remember the winter meetings. We need a closer. He gets Kimbrel, right? We need this. He goes, gets that. He does it. We need a starter. We get Sale. Chaim, in all of baseball, it was a very slow developing offseason. I've been very quiet until these last couple of weeks. But a guy that, if you talk to people down in Tampa, you talk to Kevin Cash, he was a guy who always had different things going, conversations going with a lot of teams. Things seemed to be slow until something happened, right? How different has it been for you to adapt in these early days to a completely different style of general manager?
Well, I saw it in the beginning of – at the end of 18, right, in the winter meetings in San Diego, just talking to him and the way he does his thing with the other teams is a lot different. You know, nothing – you know, I love working with Dave. It was fun. You know, I still remember my first meeting with him in the winter meetings in Orlando. And we had this board and there were certain names. And, you know, there was There was actually two up on top. It was JD and Mitch, and we got them. You know, it was like, we're getting these guys, we're going to get them. You know, it took a while with JD, but right away we got Mitch, and then we got JD. With Haim, we're in a different stage in the organization. We are. I don't agree with the whole thing about, you know, not competing, you know, what people think or what they're saying. You know, we're going to have a good team, a good baseball team. We're not like a bunch of superstars, but we have a good baseball team. But what he's creating is, like I said, a lot of, you know, is a deeper roster, is a better minor league system, but he does his own work, and that's great. You know, I'm learning a lot from him from that end. You guys know me, you know, I can be patient, but at the same time, I like action. But I understand where we're at. I know what he's doing. And if you're a Red Sox fan or you're a fan of Haim Bloom or whatever, you look from afar, you're like, oh, you know what? This is kind of like interesting what he's doing now. You know, a few weeks ago, it was like, oh, whatever. They're too slow. They're not doing it. But now it's intriguing what we're doing. And I guarantee you guys that it's going to be, you know, the puzzle is going to be a good one. I believe that, and I trust him, and looking forward to keep working with him for a lot of years.
Yeah, you mentioned JD. Obviously, I'm having trouble counting 2020 for anybody, right? It was such a weird year. I was probably awful on TV, right? Everybody went through what they went through, except for
Remy. You guys were okay. You guys were okay.
Yeah, Remy was great. He was on top of his game. but when you look at JD and the video stuff that changed last year, we know how much he works with video. What is it going to take to get JD Martinez back to being JD Martinez?
Well, JD got mad at me like 2 weeks ago because I said that I'll bet a dollar that he's going to have a better year. And he goes, that's how much confidence you have. You only bet a dollar, right? So I don't know. I wish I was going to say, well, bet your money, bet $20 million or whatever you're making and show up. But he's in a good place right now. Full workouts in Miami. They have a great group down there in a hidden facility. Miguel Cabrera, I see Eduardo, Wilson Ramos. Kind of like, I do believe that the reset wasn't great for JD. For everything I heard in spring training, he was in great shape and hitting the ball hard. And all of a sudden, that didn't happen in summer camp. And he never bounced back. The video thing is something that I know he mentioned it. Other guys did. It is what it is. You know, if we have it, we have it. If we don't, we don't. You have to make adjustments. At the end of the day, for everything you have accomplished is because you have talent. And that's the way I see it. And he's a good player. He's a good hitter. And I do believe he has a chip on his shoulder, you know, kind of like to prove people wrong. And I remember the last time he did that was going from Houston to Detroit, and he became a force. So this is the first time he's been challenged in a while, and I believe he's going to be okay.
Alex, I'd go back to one more guy, Benny. You were talking about him earlier, and of course, last year was a total disaster with the injury and everything like that. And I read something, and I don't know if it's true or not, where he attempted to adjust his swing a little bit more of a lift type of swing. That didn't work for him. He's a guy that's got a real good natural swing and really doesn't have to do something like that, in my opinion. Have you had a chance to talk to him about that?
Yeah, we have a lot of talks. And first things first, I do believe he got the wrong message going into 19. I don't know from who. I'm very happy with Benny getting on base 40% of the time, stealing 20, hitting 45 doubles and 20 home runs. I'm more than happy. But, sometimes I don't want to say his agent or whoever, you know, they get this, you know, the game is going this way and you got to hit home runs. And you saw it, you know, he was a lot stronger in 19, you know, people, you know, it's not that he was out of shape. Actually, he was in great shape, but a lot bigger. And it took away, you know, his natural ability, you know, to get on top of the ball, hit the ball to left field. He tried to hit the ball in the air and he changed his mechanics. And now he's back to, you know, body-wise to what he was in 18, 17, more athletic, better moves, a lot smoother. And that's when you talk about Andrew Benintendi, you think, okay, smooth, natural hitter.
Right.
But the last 2 years, it was like rough, you know, like slow moves and trying to hit the ball in the air. And we don't want that. As you guys know, I'm a big fan of Benny. At 7:05 or 7:35, when the game, you know, that first pitch is on, hey, he's ready to roll. You know, you see him playing the guitar and being like mellow and chilling. No, at 7:05, he's a tough SOB. He's tough, and I love that player. I think we're gonna get him back.
He's been through a lot this offseason, right? A lot of rumors, a lot of talk. Have you talked to him about that? About where's his head at with all of that?
One thing about him, he hasn't mentioned that to me once. And, you know, he's a Red Sox, and he understands that we live in an era that social platforms are going to, you know, talk about stuff, and it's going to be retweet or whatever. You know, everybody's going to talk about it. But he knows that he just needs to get ready. You know, it's a business. We get it. But I'm looking forward to see Benny playing left field for us and having an impact. You start looking at our offense. You get Benny back, you get JD back, we become elite right away, you know, just like that. So those two guys are very important, and they're in a great place right now.
Which brings us to the pitching, right? And that's what it's all about coming into this year. Now, Matt Andrees is a guy who started. He can pitch out of the bullpen. He can do both. Garrett Richards, the reports that he's coming against starter primarily. Tanner Houck came on last year. Nick Pivetta came on last year. You got a lot of guys there. There's certainly more depth. Other than maybe Erod, Eovaldi, and Perez, who have been starters really all their career, there are some question marks. Has there been any thought of doing anything different? Would a six-man rotation help this team early? Have you given thought about what to do with that depth to get the most out of it?
Well, I mean, we can't go deep into that, but one thing for sure, spring training is going to be very important to whoever we have, because we come from a short season. Eduardo doesn't pitch. Nate, obviously, with his quote-unquote red flags, which I think he's healthy and ready to go. We're in a good place. It takes more than five guys to pull this off. If you look at 18 and 19, the biggest difference was Hector and BJ, right? In 18, they were amazing. In 19, they struggled. And whenever our big boys got hurt, we didn't have a guy to step up. In 18, we did. In 19, we didn't, and we paid the price. And I'm glad that Haim is doing a good job adding pieces, not only at the big league level, but also in the minor leagues, because, as you guys know, it takes more than 40 guys to win a pennant. It takes more than 40 guys to win a World Series. And I think we have a capable pitching staff right now. I believe that it's going to get better. And that's always good for an organization, for a baseball team.
Alex, one of the bright spots last year that he came up, and I'm sure you got to see him a little bit, was Tanner Houck. And, you know, what impressed me about him, and I'm not saying, you know, he's a guy that may immediately jump into the starting rotation, but what impressed me about him is in a season where the pitching was a total disaster, he came in and showed no fear at all. And that really kind of stood out to me. You know, his stuff was good. There's no question about that. He still could probably use a third pitch. But his makeup, it looked like he was not intimidated at all by Major League Baseball.
I think I texted you once about him. He plays a part. He plays a part on the mound. You know, good athlete, good presence, not afraid. I do believe his stuff can be better. You know, last year, you know, numbers-wise and information-wise, it was an okay year for him. But with what he had, he did an amazing job. And he'll be in the talks, obviously. He put himself in the equation. And he's a guy that we're looking forward to work with and contribute at some point. You know, it can be early in the season, in the middle of the season, in September, in October, whatever. He's going to have an impact. And I love the fact that he wants to get better. If you Google Tanner Houck and you look for articles, whatever, everything is about, I want to get better. I want to make adjustments, you know, and that's awesome. That's music to my ears, because we got a bunch of guys that they're in that situation that I believe they have the right frame of mind. They're athletes too, which is very important. And, you know, we're going to count on them. They're going to be very important for the organization, not only this year, but in the upcoming years.
At some point, you get Chris Sale back. And you know, then you've got a guy who slots right into the top of the rotation. We heard the news a week or two ago. We're going to be cautious. Got to take it easy. Got to think long term. Everybody gets up in arms immediately over that. Tell us the latest on Chris Sale. Conversations you've had with him. How's he doing?
he's in a good spot, you know, working out at JetBlue Park. There's a group down there that they've been there the whole off season. Obviously, with the protocols and all that, it's not that easy. But, I mean, I read the article, and a lot of people made a big deal, you know, and I was like, I think that's how everybody treats their aces, you know, who had Tommy John surgery. So, you know, we're going to be patient. One thing that you guys know that I'm not big on timetables, you know, I don't say, oh, he's coming back August 1st. And no, we're not going to put pressure on him. He's going to, you know, keep progressing the way he's doing right now. And hopefully he can contribute this season and have a big impact on what we're trying to accomplish.
A couple last things I want to hit before we go. But spring training, it's going to be so different this year for pitchers, right? Nobody had their usual workload in 2020. Nobody threw 200 innings. Nobody made 35 starts. It wasn't there. How concerned, not just are you, are all of baseball here, about what that's going to mean to starting pitchers, especially in 2021, how you control their workload, their innings. How different is this year going to be for starting pitchers?
Well, I don't think it's a lot different to us. That's what we do anyways, right? We did in 18 and in 19. One thing for sure, we're going to rely a lot on sports medicine, which is, I mean, that's where the game is going, right? You know, take care of these guys. But there's a lot of studies, a lot of stuff that, you know, I'm learning throughout the weeks that are very important. One thing for sure, this whole thing about not pitching and all of a sudden pitching a lot of innings, we don't know. It's never happened before, you know, and it's very important for us to be responsible, to have all the information. And, you know, when we get it, we'll attack spring training the right way. And hopefully, you know, the guys are going to stay healthy throughout the season.
All right. And I wanted to ask you this, you know, you spend your life, your whole year as Red Sox manager, everybody telling you how you can do your job better, right? We're all, you know, if you go on social media, you go on the post game show, we're all talking about the mistakes you made. You watched more Nesson than anybody on earth last summer. Okay. My wife didn't even watch the games as much as you watched the games. Here's your chance, AC. What can we do better on the broadcast in 2021?
You know what? The interview on Sundays, we can bang that one. That's good. Yeah.
I agree with you.
You know what? You guys did an amazing job. You know, not because we're talking right here. I was able to listen to other broadcasts around the league, and I respect the job. I know how hard it is, but you guys do an amazing job on a tough year. I never mute you guys. Never, you know, the whole season, I never mute you guys. So that means a lot. I was watching the finals here in Puerto Rico 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and I had to mute the commentator. So plus for you guys, and keep doing the work you do. I know the fans love you guys, but the information you guys provide is also great. So, you know, I appreciate everything you guys did during the offseason. I mean, during the season, a tough season. Tough year, sorry.
Well, it's all Remy. He carries us. You know that. He does all the work. All right, last question for me. Fans are, you know, people talk about the Red Sox. They're becoming irrelevant. They're not doing anything exciting. They're not going to be any good. What do you say to fans about this season? You said before, you think you're going to be better. You and I were talking the other day. I think you're going to win more than you lose, and at that point, you're knocking on the door of the playoffs, right? So what do you tell fans about this season?
Hang in there with us. You know, it's going to be an exciting team, a different one. I think we need to actually move forward from a few things that happened the last few years, you know, trades and pandemic and suspensions, and all that. Here we are. And I think we're doing a good job to put a good team out there. And it's going to be exciting. You know, the names that I'm reading on, I know they're good people, good baseball people. And I love good baseball teams. And I think the Boston Red Sox are going to have a good baseball team this year.
Awesome. Great stuff. AC, we appreciate the time. Hope to see you in person here pretty soon. It's been a while.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, hopefully. See you April 1st. Talk
there
to you guys.
Go. I love right. it. Thank you. Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox, joining us as we wrap up another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you again next week.